We're going to be in Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to go through verses 2 through 6. And I think it would be good if we read those verses together, or let me read them. Read them from your Bible. I'll read them from mine for you. And Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, Lord, we pray today as we look into your word that you would bless our time. Help us to see the things that you want us to see, to apply the things you want us to apply. Give us that wisdom, to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, and we'll commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this verse is about the Christian and outsiders. By outsiders, we're talking about those outside of the church, those outside of the family of God. Let me read a quote from someone named Sheldon Vanuken in a book called Lifestyle Evangelism. He said, "The best argument for Christianity is Christians, their joy, their certainty, their completeness. But the strongest argument against Christianity is also Christians. When they are somber and joyless, when they are self-righteous and smug and complacent in complacent consecration, when they are narrow and repressive, then Christianity dies 1,000 deaths." Well, how good of an argument is your life for the faith that you profess? Have you ever wondered what outsiders, that would be unbelievers, unchurched people, we're talking about? Have you ever wondered how they view you? Even your own family members, how do they view you? Your co-workers, how do they view you? Are you coming across to them open and receptive and accepting? Or is it more like they see a sign that says private club, members only, do not disturb, above on your forehead or above your church or above your home? You know, it's interesting in the Bible that people ran to hear Jesus, flocked to hear him, and people run away from Christians a lot, pretty much today. So how is your life a witness, and are you walking in wisdom towards those who are outside? I remember in seminary when Chaplain Richard Sumi told a story about how he went out to dinner with or lunch with a friend. And the friend was very rude to the waitress and short with her and complained about things. And he leaned over to his friend and he said, "Now try to witness to her." He made his point very well. And I have to remind myself sometimes, and I have to probably confess that not so much waitresses, but when I'm on the telephone with AT&T, and they're sending me from Brazil to the Philippines and to India, and I know a few words in all those languages, and I'm talking to them in their languages because I can detect the accents, and they don't know what they're doing, and I get a little short. But I don't have to face them face to face, so I have to check myself. Can we witness those people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis? How do they see our lives? So we have to be careful about how we live and always leave the door open for a gospel witness. That was kind of my rule also when I played soccer later in life, just played for, you know, co-ed leagues and indoor soccer and so forth. I never wanted to behave in such a way that I couldn't witness to someone on the other team, that I treated them so bad. And I played aggressively, you know, and knocked people down, they knocked me down and so forth. But I never wanted to be able to say, I never wanted to come across as mean or never said anything that would close the door for a strong witness. And I've seen some really bad behavior. I've learned that if you want to know what a Christian character is like in a person, put them in some competitive sports, and the worst will come out pretty quickly. It really will. So the acid test, then, for your relationship to outsiders and your witness to outsiders is, can you still witness to them when they really know what you are like? Well, we've been in the book of Colossians, and we've seen how Paul there has addressed first the theological concerns, talking about how Christ is preeminent and over everything, and he's in everything, and he's everything, period. And because he is all-sufficient, and he is in us who are believers, then we are complete in him. And because we are complete in him and we are seated in the heavenlies, that should be reflected in our lives. And so the last half of the book of Colossians, he talks about how that should be reflected in a new person, and that new person, how that new person should behave himself, herself, around others. And so he talks about how we deal with, how we should think about ourselves and personal issues and behavior. And then he talks about how we should handle and deal with our families. And that's what we've been talking about. And our last message was he talked about how to deal with work relationships. And now he's going to talk about another relationship that we all have, and that is to the outside world, meaning those who are not believers, those who are not churched. How do we relate to those? So in these different circles of relationships now, this is the biggest circle because most of the world would be unbelievers, would be without Christ. How do we relate to them? But in your life, of course, that's going to be a smaller circle of people, but still, it's your neighbor, it's your worker, it's your classmate, it's all those people. Well, the first thing he tells us here in verse 2 is to be devoted to prayer when he says continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. So when he says continue earnestly in prayer, he's talking about being devoted to prayer. Being, I think, implies being persistent and consistent and suggests that we are resolved not to give up praying, but to keep it a priority and to continue to pray. Not just when we feel like it, not when we're discouraged, but that's when we need it most. So don't get discouraged about prayers, even if you don't see them answered, and quit praying. Delays are not denials. I know that some of us have been praying for things for a long time, for a family member or someone to be converted to Christ for a long time. But a delay is not a denial. There's always hope. Think of many of the prayers that were delayed in the Bible and were not answered immediately. Think how long Abraham waited to see the seed that God had promised to him. God is not reluctant to bless us. He wants to build our faith and our devotion. Imagine what it would be like if we got everything that we asked for at the moment we asked for it. It wouldn't take really much faith, would it? It does take faith, however, to persevere in our prayer and continue when we don't see an answer immediately. Someone said prayer is not telling God what to do, but asking for what he wants done. So we're not telling God what to do, but we're praying biblically according to what he wants done. Many years ago, Dublin Archbishop Richard Trench said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. Not overcoming his reluctance. We have this picture that God only reluctantly grants our answers to our prayers, but it is laying hold of his willingness. When we pray biblically, I think that is assumed. So he says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be persistent and consistent. But then he says, be vigilant in it.